अनंति कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशिदी गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोपधन की श्री वृंदावन धाम की श्री नवद्वीप धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की नाइम शरण्य की गंगमयी की जमुनामयी की भक्ति देवी की तुलसी देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की हरि नाम संकीर्तन की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग shloka charitam chakara bhagavan rishi nishvayashaya lokasya dhanyam svasya yanam mahat. This Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of God, and it is compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, the incarnation of God. It is meant for the ultimate good of all people, and it is all successful, all blissful, and all perfect. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared that Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless sound representation of all Vedic knowledge and history. There are selected histories of great devotees who are in direct contact with the personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of Lord Sri Krishna and is therefore non-different from Him. Srimad Bhagavatam should be worshipped as respectfully as we worship the Lord. Thereby we can derive the ultimate blessings of the Lord through its careful and patient study. As God is all light, all bliss, and all perfection, so also the Srimad Bhagavatam, we can have all the transcendental light of the Supreme Brahman, Sri Krishna, from the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, provided it is received through the medium of the transparent spiritual master. Lord Chaitanya's private secretary, Srila Swarup Damodara Goswami, advised all intending visitors who came to see the Lord at Puri to make a study of the Bhagavatam from the person Bhagavatam. Person Bhagavatam is the self-realized bona fide spiritual master, and through him only one can understand the lessons of Bhagavatam in order to receive the desired result. One can derive from the study of the Bhagavatam all benefits that are possible to be derived from the personal presence of the Lord. It carries with it all the transcendental blessings of Lord Sri Krishna that we can expect from His personal contact. Very incarnation of God, and it is compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, the incarnation of God. It is meant for the ultimate good of all people, and it is all successful, all perfect, and all blissful. This very beautiful sloka was spoken here in the forest of Nainitaranya. In this very holy place where we have the great fortune to be sitting today, 88,000 great sages assembled together, headed by the great Sonaka Rishi, to hear the spotless Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam, from Srila Sutta Goswami. The history of Srimad Bhagavatam
is very important to hear. At the beginning of our creation, Lord Brahma took birth without any mother. He directly appeared on a beautiful lotus flower that had sprouted from the navel of Sri Garbhodakshini Vishnu. There was nothing around him but darkness. He did not know what he was to do, who he was, where he was. He was quite bewildered. In fact, he climbed down the stem of the lotus, but he was in the cosmic ocean, and the waves were splashing so hard that it created terrible fear in his heart. So he climbed back up. At that time, the Lord within his heart spoke two syllables, Tappa. Tene Brahma Hidaya Atakapi. Lord Brahma began to perform tapasya. In his tapasya, he meditated on the Supreme Personality of God as a service to the Supreme Personality of God. After 1,000 celestial years of Brahma engaged in the service of the Lord revealed the spiritual world of Vaikuntha to him. He saw the illustrious abode of the Lord, which was effulgent with so many beautiful personalities. Everything was auspicious. He saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. Lord Brahma surrendered himself at the lotus feet of the Lord by offering his obeisances. Lord Vishnu, being very pleased upon Brahma, smiled upon him and shook his hand. He told him that he was very pleased because he had followed his instruction and he engaged in devotional service, meditating on him through tapasya. The Lord wanted to fulfill whatever benediction Brahma wanted. Lord Brahma prayed to the Lord that really I do not know who I am or who you are. I understand you have sent me here to be your instrument in creating this universe. But please reveal to me how you have a transcendental form full of bliss and knowledge, but yet you appear within this world like a mortal being. And you have diversified energies, and through these energies you are maintaining, creating, maintaining, destroying everything within material and spiritual existence. Please tell me how these energies are working. Empower me to do your service and to never forget you. And as the creator and father of all living beings within this universe, let me always remember that I am only your instrument and I never become proud. the Supreme Personality of Godhead, being very pleased with Lord Brahma, explained to him the very essence of all knowledge in the form of four verses. They are the nutshell verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the entirety of the Srimad Bhagavatam has expanded from these four verses that were spoken at the beginning of the creation, from Vishnu to Brahma.
Aham eva sam eva gre nanyadyat sad asparam paschadaham yaditaccha yoga vishishyeta somyaham. Brahma, it is I, the Personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation, when there was nothing but myself, nor was there the material nature, the cause of this creation. That which you see now is also I, the Personality of Godhead, and after annihilation, what remains will also be I, the Personality of Godhead. Rite ratam yad pratyeta na pratyeta chatmani tad vidyaratmano mayam yato bhasho yathatamaha. O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. Know it as my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. Yatha mahanti bhutani bhuteshu chavat sheshvalu pravishtanya pravishtani tathateshu nateshvaham. O Brahma, please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything created, and at the same time I am outside of everything. Itabad eva jigyasyam tatva jigyasunatmanaha anvaya vyatirekhabhyam yatsyat sarvatra sarvada. A person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, most certainly search for it up to this, in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly.
Brahma was thus enlightened with all transcendental knowledge, both of the spiritual world, the material world, as well as how he could perform his service perfectly for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of God. The purpose of creation is to facilitate conditioned souls who want to enjoy independent from God. However, Lord Brahma explains himself that as an instrument of the Lord, he has created this material cosmos in such a way that it is dukkhalaya rasashrita. It is frustrating. It is miserable. You cannot be happy here. And the more you try, the more you ultimately suffer. But the Lord, out of His causeless mercy, has given the transcendental knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam from the very beginning of creation to teach us what is the truth and how to attain it. how to become free from the threefold miseries of material existence, and how to be reestablished in our lost relationship as the loving servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Brahma instructed this knowledge to Narada Muni. Narada Muni, in a previous millennium, was a maidservant's son. In a forest, something like this, he was living with his beloved mother. During 2 months, the months of the rainy season and the autumn season, a group of great devotees gathered in that forest to hear and chant the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Narada Muni was their humble servant. He had no high position. He was a boy from a maidservant caste, but he wanted to serve. In every possible menial way, Narada Muni, in his previous life, served these great devotees. Serving means perhaps carrying what they had, washing things for them, cleaning things, perhaps helping to arrange to serve prasad, cleaning up after the prasad. Menial service. Once, with their permission, he took the remnants of their prasad. And he gained a very, very deep eagerness to hear their words. By hearing them discuss the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he became completely attached, not only to their association, but to the subject matter of Harikatha. This is the real secret of success for spiritual life. To become attached to the association of sincere devotees, and very, very eager to hear and chant the glories of the Lord in that association. Through this process, this young child's heart became purified. And because he was so humble, so submissive, so eager to serve and eager to hear, these great devotees bestowed their blessings upon him. People today ask sadhus for blessings. But people do not know what blessings are and how to receive them. No doubt, just by seeing a sadhu, there is some benefit. But the actual blessing of a sadhu is the blessing that you become detached from material enjoyment and attached to the loving service of the Lord. That is the only blessing they ever want to give. And how do we receive that blessing? We can receive it only to the degree that we please them by our menial, humble desire to serve and our eagerness to hear. When a devotee sees these qualities, naturally they give their heartfelt blessings. This young child had such heartfelt blessings. When these great Bhakti Vedantas left, the boy was cast in a mood of separation. But it was his obligation to serve his widowed mother. But when she was struck by a serpent, when she went to milk cow and died, this young child, by the association of this transcendental knowledge, He didn't just sit and weep and think, I'm a boy. My mother's dead. Who will protect me? Where will I go? What will I do? One who has real knowledge understands how to see everything as the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Satyena kambam susumikshya mano bunjana evatmakritam vibhagam. This is the test that you have heard properly. That even when inconceivable calamity comes upon you, with folded palms you take it as the mercy of the Lord. And you understand, this may be a mystery that I cannot comprehend at this time. But it is all happening for the good. It has a purpose. Let me have faith. So the child fearlessly went into the forest to seek out realization of Krishna. The child went through deep, dark forests. At other times he came into flourishing cities, towns, small villages, countrysides, and paddy fields, forests, and then back into the deep, dark forests. Trying to find out, what is this world and what is Krishna? He had knowledge. But what is the use of knowledge without realization? In the darkness of the forest, he would meditate. And in his sincere effort, the Supreme Personality of God had manifested himself within his heart. Tears flowed from his eyes. He was in ecstasy. He had achieved the fulfillment of his life. But then the form of the Lord disappeared. The child was very much frustrated in separation. Again, he performed the same identical type of meditation. But nothing happened. Again and again and again he tried. Then he heard a voice. That I reveal myself to you for that moment just to attach your mind only to me. But you are not yet purified to see me always. So for the rest of your life, you will be longing for this darshan and you will not be satisfied with anything else of this treacherous world. And through that longing and separation, in your next life, you will always have my devotional service. In his next life, he became Narada Muni, directly the son of Lord Brahma. He was born at the time, at the beginning of the new millennium, when Lord Brahma is again born. After coming out, not born, after a day of Brahma, at night he goes into the body of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu and sleeps. And then when he wakes up, every time he wakes up in the morning he's bewildered and the Lord has to reveal to him who he is, where he is, what his duties are. So Narada Muni was born directly from Lord. And that same knowledge that Lord Vishnu revealed to Lord Brahma was explained personally to his beloved son and disciple, Narada Muni. Now we know throughout the ages, Narada Muni playing upon his veena enlightened so many of the greatest personalities in our history with this knowledge that he received from the four nutshell verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. At the end of the Dwapara Yuga, Veda Vyas, knowing that Kali Yuga was coming, people would be very much unregulated in their lifestyles, and therefore they would have short lives and short memories. Previous to this, transcendental knowledge was not written. It was spoken. And people had such strength of minds and intelligence that they could remember what they had heard and repeat it perfectly. But in Kali Yuga, it is impossible. Vedavyas is a Shaktivesh avatar, the literary incarnation of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, who out of his mercy compiled the Vedas. He first wrote the Yajurveda. After compiling Yajurveda, seeing that people were very, very less intelligent for these spiritual matters, and they could not understand the esoteric spiritual innuendos of this great literature, he divided it into four parts: the Yajurveda, Atharva Veda, Sama Veda, and Rig Veda. Then he further expanded that as the Upanishads, the Itihastas, the Puranas. He wrote the great Mahabharata. And then, out of his great mercy, he summarized all of it in its essence as the Vedanta Sutras. Vedavyas was a seer of past, present, and future. And his existence here in this world was only for the benefit of other living beings. He was living at the time in Badrikashram, on the banks of the holy river Saraswati. One morning, as he was sitting in his hermitage, he felt within his heart a very deep-seated dissatisfaction. But he could not understand why. He was thinking, I have appeared in this world to deliver the fallen souls by giving them transcendental knowledge. I have given so many vast literatures describing everything that is to be known. Why is this dissatisfaction in my heart? It is unbearable. He thought and contemplated for some time and then concluded, perhaps it is because I did not describe pure devotional service. Perhaps I did not specifically glorify the divine pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At that time, Narada Muni, Vedavyas' spiritual master, Narada Muni, appeared. Srila Vyasadeva worshipped him and inquired, please tell me, O Narada Muni, my Guru Maharaj, what is the deficiency in my service? Why is there anxiety within my heart? Narada Muni replied, to confirm what Vedavyas had already concluded. Essentially, Narada Muni told him that you have cheated the people, that's why. You have given all these literatures for all these different classes of man. However, you have not specifically and exclusively given that literature to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the path of pure devotional service to Him. You have explained in your literatures the process of artha, how to achieve artha, kama, dhamma, moksha. How people could worship God or the gods for the purpose of getting economic development, better sense gratification, pious charitable results, as well as liberation. But all of these things are ultimately mundane, and they frustrate the heart because they are temporary. Now, you should write that literature. That literature which specifically glorifies the Supreme Lord. For one who is constantly immersed in hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord reveals Himself directly and indirectly. That literature that does not specifically glorify the names, attributes, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is compared to a place of pilgrimage for crows.
Srila Prabhupada explains
that crows love to eat refuse, sewage, and garbage. The more spoiled it is, the tastier it is for a crow. But that literature which describes the glorious pastimes of the Lord are like a place of pilgrimage for swans who will take nothing to eat except the nectar which is the essence within the stem of the lotus flower. And those great personalities who become attached to hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, even if they compose literature or speak with so many mistakes, it is worshipable and eagerly heard and glorified by those who are pious and sincere. Narada Muni told Vedavyas that you are dissatisfied at heart because no one can be satisfied unless they directly glorify the Lord. So now you write that literature which exclusively expounds pure, unalloyed devotional service and describes the transcendental pastimes of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Upon that instruction, Srila Vedavyas compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana. It is the commentary of the Vedanta Sutra written by the author himself, Srila Vedavyas. Through Parampara, Vedavyas wanted to give this knowledge to his own son. Srila Sukadev Goswami was the son of Vyasadeva. But he was a Brahma-realized soul from his very conception. Therefore, he had no inclination to even come out of the womb. He remained within the womb of his mother for 12 years. But by Vedavyasa's appeal,
and with the help of Lord Krishna,
Sukadeva Goswami was attracted to come out to hear the glories of the Lord. But when he came out, he had no interest in family life whatsoever. Maybe the us wanted to stay home to teach him and even for him to get married. But Sukadeva Goswami came out of the womb and just walked out of the house. Vedavyas was calling him,
walking behind him.
Bhagavat describes how there was a body of water with beautiful young ladies taking their baths. Sukadeva Goswami walked by and they just weren't taking their baths. They looked at him, thought, oh, he is so pure.
Vedavyas, who was old enough to be grandfather, when he walked by, they became very much disturbed and started putting on their clothes. Vedavyas asked, why is this? I'm old enough to be father, grandfather, and you are ashamed to be without clothes before me. My son is your age. Why you are not ashamed?
But these ladies, they could understand very nicely that he is so transcendentally situated, he makes no discrimination between male and female. He doesn't see material bodies. He's not looking at us. And even if he does, he's not seeing what anyone else sees. He only sees the soul.
You may be a transcendentally self-realized soul, but because you're a grihastha, you have to make these distinctions.
So Vedavyas wanted Sukadeva to come back so bad, but he wouldn't come back. He wanted to teach him Srimad Bhagavatam.
So Srila Vedavyas made a good plan.
He had one of his disciples
in the forest, amongst the trees. He's something like a woodcutter.
And he was reciting beautiful slokas from Bhagavatam. And Sukadeva Goswami, when he heard them, he became so attracted. He wanted to hear more. So he brought him back to Srila Vedavyasa's hermitage. And there Vedavyasa explained to him in great, great depths the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Sukadeva Goswami, who was Brahman, realized when he heard the glories of Lord Krishna and pure devotional service, he considered the happiness of impersonal Brahman to be insignificant and unworthy of his attention. At that time, he wanted to immerse himself forever in hearing and chanting and remembering the glories of Sri Krishna. At that time, the king of the world was Emperor Parikshit. Parikshit Maharaj was the son of Abhimanyu and Uttara. He was the grandson of Arjuna. When he was an embryo in the womb, when Ashwatthama went to kill him with Brahmastra weapon, Uttara, who was a devotee, out of compassion for her child, she cried out for Krishna, please save him. And Krishna appeared in the womb and gave darshan to Parikshit and saved his life. This is real motherly love. Because the Brahmastra of time is coming to kill all your children, my dear mothers. may not be going as fast as Ashwatthama's,
but it's there, it's on its way
to kill you, to kill your husbands,
to kill your children, your grandchildren, to kill everyone.
Be like Uttara.
Don't pray, oh Lord, give my child nice education so that they can make nice money and wear nice clothes and live in nice flats.
Pray, Krishna,
save them, give them bhakti.
Krishna,
save Krishna.
And because of that, after he came out of the room, everywhere
he went, he was looking for that Krishna.
Nothing in the world had any charm after seeing Krishna.
Parikshit Maharaj ruled the world so perfectly.
Even the personification of Kali surrendered to his feet.
He was such a compassionate devotee that the whole world was Krishna conscious under his rule. But the Lord has his plan. And the Lord's plan is not so easy to understand.
One day, Parikshit was walking through a forest. And suddenly he became overwhelmed with thirst.
He went to the hermitage of a rishi named Samik Muni. Samik Muni was in dhyana, meditation, samadhi. Parikshit Maharaj asked him, oh, great sage, best of Brahmins, please give me some water, I'm very thirsty. But the rishi did not hear anything.
So the great Parikshit Maharaj, he acted completely out of his nature. He became a little angry.
Brahmins are supposed to be humble.
A guest has come to your house, you're not even giving him a little water? This is not Brahman. So with his bow, he saw the dead corpse of a serpent and garlanded
Samik Rishi with that dead serpent.
Nothing so bad. However,
as he left, he realized, I made a big, big mistake. I shouldn't have done that. Why did I never did that before? How is it possible? But in the meanwhile, the son of the Brahmin, whose name was Sringi, he happened to be very powerful. Because you see, in those days, just taking birth as a Brahmin, you would generally get great, great powers of a Brahmin. And your real qualification of a Brahmin is how you live and how you use what you have. Sringi, taking it to be such an insult to his father as well as to himself, who was playing with his friends, he became so very angry. His eyes became red. He trembled. He was only like this. Parishab sighs. He sipped water, and right in front of all of his associates, he wanted to show them what he could do. He pronounced a curse. And you have offended this Brahmin in this way? I curse you, Parishad, that in 7 days you will die through the process of being bitten by the snake bird Tataka.
When the news came to Maharaj Parikshit, actually what happened is
Swami Rishi came out of his
meditation and saw the serpent.
Didn't care anything.
Saw it. But when Sringi told him what he did,
what have you done? A king like Parikshit is to be worshipped and honored as the Supreme Personality of God in himself. He's the representative of God. What have you done? This will cause the destruction of piety and religion in the whole world. Swami Rishi went to the palace of Parikshit and told him exactly what happened. But Parikshit was also very powerful. Our acharyas explain he could have made a counter curse, but he did not. With folded palms, he accepted that this is the mercy of the Supreme Personality of God. Parikshit Maharaj was grateful. He was grateful to have been cursed to die in 7 days. He was at the prime of his youth. He had beautiful wife, children. He was loved with all popularity by the whole kingdom. Who could possibly bear being separated from all this? But Parikshit Maharaj was happy. He understood the Lord has a plan, and I must harmonize my mind and my actions with that plan. So he took a vow. No sleeping, no eating, not even drinking a drop of water till I die. What will I do? I will hear and chant the glories of the Supreme Lord for the next 7 days. In a spirit of gratefulness and blissfulness, he gave up his royal robes and put on the simple garments like a sadhu. He walked out of his palace, leaving all his riches, family members, prestige, power, and everything behind him, knowing that it has to be done eventually. He went to the banks of the holy river Ganges, just outside of the city of Hastinapur. Someday I would like to take all of you to a yatra to that place. The place is called Sukhada. And there is a beautiful banyan tree on the banks of Ganga. Under that banyan tree, Parikshit Maharaj made his vow to fast till death. This news spread throughout not only the world, but the universe, faster than the internet. These great rishis, they didn't need these ugra-karma little machines to send their messages. Within a matter of moments, great rishis, sages, yogis, sadhus, gurus, they were all assembling by the thousands and thousands and thousands because they wanted to be there for this most historical, epic event of Maharaj Parikshit's disappearance from the world. Narada came, Vasita came, Devala came, Bhartraj Muni came, Vyasadeva came. Maharaj Parikshit, very humble, he offered his obeisances to each one of these great personalities and took the dust of their feet and begged for their blessings and asked them all, please tell me, what is the perfection of life? What is the ultimate duty for all living beings? And especially,
what is the duty of a man about to die?
So the great rishis were discussing amongst themselves who it was that would speak to Maharaj Parikshit. It was at that moment that Sukadeva Goswami appeared. Sukadeva Goswami was such a transcendentalist. He didn't want any type of fame or prestige. He wandered through the forest like a madman, without even wearing any clothing.
And when common people saw him,
they would oftentimes spit on him, throw articles like rocks and dirt on him, and make all kinds of terrible blasphemies against him. But he was happy. Because he was immersed in remembrance of Krishna. This is quality of a transcendental person. He's not concerned what people in general think of himself. He's only concerned what Krishna thinks.
And those who are dear to Krishna, what they think of me.
No compromise.
So these people were thinking he was just some sort of a crazy fellow,
joking against him.
And Sukadeva Goswami, he entered into the assembly of the greatest saints in the world. And when he entered, they all stood up to honor him. Unanimously, they offered him the Vyasasana. The sacred seat of that person who perfectly represents Srila Veda Vyas.
After duly worshipping him and offering him all honors, Maharaj Parikshit, with all humility at his command, he prostrated himself at the lotus feet of Srila Sukadeva Goswami. And he explained to him his vow to fast till death. He wanted to hear the glories of the Lord till his last breath.
He inquired from Sukadeva Goswami,
please tell me, what is the highest perfection to be achieved by all living beings? How to achieve that perfection? And especially, what is the duty of the man who is about to die?
Please tell me how one can continuously hear, chant, remember, and worship the Supreme Personality of God.
Sukadeva Goswami described to Maharaj Parikshit what he had heard from his father, Veda Vyas, the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam contains knowledge so vast from the nature of the soul, the origin of the universe, the Lord's various incarnations.
It is described by our great acharyas that there are 9 processes of devotional service.
And one can achieve the perfection of life by perfectly executing any one or any combination of those 9 processes. And the most exemplary
The most illustrative examples of that
are being given.
Maharaj Parikshit achieved the ultimate perfection of life simply by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Sukadeva Goswami attained the ultimate perfection of life simply by speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada explained, on that bank of the Ganges, as Sukadeva Goswami was speaking, there were thousands and thousands of people. And yet, there was pin drop silence. If a leaf would fall from a tree, it would make a commotion. But not even a leaf would fall. No one was sleeping. No one was coughing. Everybody was in rapid attention. And Maharaj Parikshit, he didn't even remember that he was fasting. He explained this, that I have not taken any food, I have not taken any water, but I feel no fatigue because I am drinking the nectar from your lotus mouth, Sukadeva Goswami. The nectar of the glories of the Supreme Lord. When, oh when, will that day be ours? When we can be nourished and satisfied just hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Rama Rama Hare.
Sukadeva Goswami explained to Maharaj Parikshit very specific and choice histories. Not only histories from this particular universe, but histories from all different universes, from all different planets, from all different times. Not only in this millennium or this creation, but even from others. Sukadeva Goswami selected just the most perfect stories to illustrate the relationships between the pure devotee and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and how we could all achieve love of God in this life. Maharaj Parikshit heard with rapid attention.
The Srimad Bhagavatam culminates with the 10th canto.
After preparing Maharaj Parikshit by speaking about himself, about the Pandavas, their relationship with the Lord and surrender,
he described so many histories of incarnations, Varaha Dev, Matsyavatar, Narasimha Dev, Ramchandra.
He described such great devotees like Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj. Then he came to describing the birth of Krishna in Balaram.
He described specifically
the beautiful Leela of Vrindavan. In five chapters of the 10th canto are considered the highest point of all Vedic literatures. The description of the love of the gopis for Krishna. And the ultimate revelation within those chapters is how Krishna left all his most beloved devotees behind to to enjoy with that personality who is the reservoir of supreme love, Srimati Radharani.
Generally, the Srimad Bhagavatam is called the Bhagavat Purana.
But the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas especially prefer the name Srimad Bhagavatam. Knowing that the real message of Srimad Bhagavatam is the ultimate glorification of Srimati Radharani and the love of Vrindavan.
Srimad Bhagavatam teaches everything should be done in a personal way. Like this. In the spiritual world, the canopies are not just dead wood, but their personalities taking the form of canopy to shade the Lord. I do not deserve this, but by their causeless mercy they are here. At the end of 12 cantos, the snake bird appeared and Maharaj Parikshit. He was very happy. Come, let him appear, let him bite me, I'm ready. And he prayed for the blessings of Sukadeva Goswami, he prayed for the blessings of all the great devotees of the Lord. After Sukadeva Goswami finished his narration, he left. And getting all the blessings and all the prayers of the devotees, he fixed his heart on hearing and chanting and remembering the Lord. And Parikshit Maharaj perfected his life and went back home, back to God. One of the members of that assembly was named Suta Goswami. Suta Goswami was a very, very great Brahmin. He was the son of Romaharshan Sutta. When Vedavyas divided up the Vedic knowledge in various forms, he appointed certain of his disciples to take charge of understanding and disseminating that particular field of transcendental knowledge. Vedavyas appointed Romaharsha in charge of the Puranas and Itihasas, the great Vedic histories. So he was a very, very honored person. One day, he was sitting here in Naimasharanya, speaking transcendental knowledge of the Puranas to an assembly of sages. That was the time when Lord Sri Balaramji was on his pilgrimage. You know why Balaram went on pilgrimage. Because he is such a kind-hearted personality that he liked Duryodhana. And there was a battle between the Pandavas and the Kurus that took place in Kurukshetra. And Krishna took the side of the Pandavas, and Balaram loved the Pandavas, but he also liked Duryodhana, and he didn't want to fight against Krishna. So he decided to go on pilgrimage and not have anything to do with all of this politics. And actually, we should all just not involve ourselves in politics and come on these pilgrimages. We are following the footsteps of the original Guru, Sri Balaramji. You go to some place, so much politics, so many people want to discuss so many different things, so many meetings. In fact, there's a meeting going on right now. But we have gone on pilgrimage. Following in the footsteps of Balaramji. When Balaram appeared, Rama Harshan was speaking. And he just went on speaking. Now, Sri Balaramji is the Supreme Personality of God. He's senior most person. Rama Harshan Sutra was sitting on his Vyasasan. And generally, when a person is sitting on Vyasasan speaking transcendental knowledge, he's supposed to just go on speaking. But when a person that is so much superior to him and worshipable to him enters, that person should offer respects. This is called Vaishnava etiquette. Now, Sri Balaramji wanted to teach the world the importance of observing Vaishnava etiquette. Sometimes we think we have our duties and we have our responsibilities to our Guru Maharaj and our responsibilities to our family members, and we have so much work to do and so many books to be distributed and so many other things to accomplish that I don't have time for this Vaishnava etiquette. It's a subtlety that has no real prominence in the face of my glorious heroic activities in this world. Sometimes we think like this. We just don't have time. So Rama Harshan Sutta, some little pride was in his heart. He didn't think it was required for him, the sitter on the seated on the Vyasasan, to bow down and offer respects to a senior person. Now we know from our holy scriptures that the Supreme Lord does not tolerate pride in his devotees' hearts. What to speak of a person who is supposed to be exemplifying a lifestyle in such a way that other people can become devotees? So Balaramji saw Rama Harshan Sutta. He's sitting on Vyasasan, he's speaking knowledge, but he's proud. He's not observing etiquette. Therefore, his activities speak louder than his words. He is misleading and misdirecting the general populace by his example. I cannot tolerate this. I must send a strong message to the world. So Sri Balaramji picked up one blade of kusha grass and approached Rama Harshan Sutta and touched him with that kusha grass. Rama Harshan Sutta immediately fell dead. Sri Balaramji ki! This created quite a stir here in Naimisharanya. All the sages, they were very much disturbed. They said, Balaramji, whatever you do is perfect, and we must honor it. But at the same time, he's our guru! And we just blessed him that he would have a long life to speak transcendental wisdom to us. Now, you have spoiled our blessing to him. Well, who will speak to us? You have killed a Brahmin. So Balaramji, he also wanted to set proper example. Now, what atonement would you like me to accept? They said, there is a demon named Balbala
who roams around these gnomish Aranya forests, and he's always destroying our sacrifices. If you can free this forest of this rascal.
So Balaramji had the devotees perform their yajna, and then Balbala appeared. Big, black, terrible demon. He was throwing pus and stool and blood and urine and everything all over the sacrificial arena, and he himself was like the personification of ugly sin. Like a terror, he came to attack. But Sri Balaramji, with his plow, he dragged him to the ground and hit him. And Balbala was dead. Sri Balaramji ki! This is Naimasharanya Leela. Then the great sages brought forth the son of Romaharsha Sutta and asked, will you transfer the blessings that we gave to Romaharshan to his son? The blessings that the great sages gave to Romaharshan Sutta, that he could live a long, healthy life and in the most empowered way to preach the message of Vyasadeva, that was transferred to his son, whose name was Sutta Goswami. Sutta Goswami was sitting for that 7 days on the banks of the Ganges in rapt attention, hearing from his spiritual master, Sukadeva Goswami. And every word Sukadeva Goswami spoke, Sutta Goswami remembered perfectly. Once in a holy place in the forest of Naimasharanya, great sages headed by the sage Sonaka assembled to perform a great 1,000-year sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Lord and his devotees. It was here in these charming forests of Naimasharanya that 88,000 sages assembled to perform a sacrifice that would go on for 1,000 years. What was the purpose of this sacrifice? These great devotees saw the influence of the age of Kali, like a cloud of darkness enveloping human society. They saw the degradation of all good qualities in human beings. They were performing this sacrifice for the upliftment of all humanity, to appeal to the Lord to shower his causeless blessings upon all living beings. They were not performing this sacrifice for any other reason except to purify the hearts of men throughout the world and help them to overcome the degradation of the age of Kali. They were truly saintly, compassionate personalities. In the age of Kali, the only real sacrifice that is effective is hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. They had taken a vow to sit in this forest for 1,000 years, hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Now I can see some of you, after less than an hour, you're eager to go somewhere else and do something else. Would you like to stay here, hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord for the next 1,000 years, never leaving Naimisharanya? If that's what it takes to show compassion to the fallen, suffering people of this world, that's what we should be willing to do. That is Vaishnava. One day, after finishing their morning duties by burning a sacrificial fire and offering a seat of esteem to Srila Suta Goswami, the great sages made inquiries with great respect about the following matters. Sonaka Rishi was the leader of these great sages. On behalf of all of them, he personally, with folded palms and a heart full of submission and eagerness to hear, he glorified Suta Goswami. That you are a person who is truly qualified to enlighten us in transcendental knowledge. You are free of all vice. You behave according to the highest principles of morality and spirituality. You are well versed in the holy scriptures. You have humbly accepted guidance from previous acharyas. And you are very, very submissive to your spiritual masters and eager to serve them and hear from them. Therefore, you are the qualified person to speak to us the transcendental narration of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada describes that these are the qualifications for one to properly explain Srimad Bhagavatam. And the sages of Naimisharanya, as well as Maharaj Parikshit, they had the perfect qualifications to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. They were submissive, eager to serve, and very, very eager to hear the subject matter. Srila Prabhupada has told us, where that combination is present, qualified speaker and qualified listener, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, personally manifests himself in that dialogue for the ultimate benefit of both the speaker and all those who are eager to hear. So the Karishi presented several questions before Suta Goswami on behalf of all of the sages of Naimisharanya. He asked him to explain what is the ultimate good for the general populace. There is vast bodies of scriptures
with so much philosophy and so many various instructions. In Kali Yuga, people have short lives and not very good intelligence. And it will take years and years and years to try to study all of these different scriptures. Please tell us, O Sutta Goswami, what is the essence of all the revealed scriptures? Please explain to us, what is the purpose of the Supreme Personality of Godhead descent as the son of Devaki in the prison house of Kamsa? And please enlighten us with the teachings of the previous acharyas that you have heard. We are very, very eager. So very eager to hear you explain the narrations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's pastimes as he appears in his various incarnations. And now that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, has left this world to return to his supreme abode, where have religious principles taken shelter? The sages of Naimasharanya, they were not simply presenting some questions out of philosophical curiosity. They were presenting these questions from the core of their hearts in a mood of a desperate and an intense need to hear the replies to these inquiries. Sitting here in Naimasharanya, Srila Sutta Goswami was very pleased to hear their questions. It was here in Naimasharanya that great Sutta Goswami began his narration. First, with love and respect in his heart, he offered prayers honoring his spiritual master, Srila Sukadeva Goswami, and glorifying him as the savior of life and the giver of light in the age of darkness. Following in his footsteps, whenever any of us speak, we should never consider that we know anything. We should just try to be the instrument in the hands of the previous acharyas. Srila Prabhupada taught us this by his example as well. Once a devotee asked, "Are you perfect?" Srila Prabhupada said, "I may be perfect or I may not be perfect." No, he didn't say that. He said, "No, I am not perfect. And I am not perfect." This is the humility of an acharya. I am not perfect. But because I am repeating the words of my spiritual master, therefore everything I say is perfect. And if you hear it and follow it, you will become perfect. Begin our classes. Om Jnanam Tumirantasya Jnanam Janashamakaya Chakshurundaritam Jenatasvori Sri Gurudeva Maha. This is not a ritual only. This is a prayer. We understand, who are we to speak? We are simply trying to be, as Prabhupada said, postal peon of our spiritual master. Just humble soul delivering the pure message. Srila Prabhupada transformed tens and thousands of people's lives. Millions! And he explained, what is his qualification? That I have not added or subtracted anything from the words of my Guru Maharaj. And Srila Prabhupada's own heart, he saw that it was his Guru Maharaj who was delivering these souls. He was just servant. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur felt the same way. And through the disciplic succession, this is a parampara of humble servants who are delivering the message as it is. Sutta Goswami began his narration by taking shelter in full surrender in his spiritual master and his words. Then with a joyful heart, he spoke to Sonakrishi and the sages. Munaya sudu prishtoham bhavad birlokamanga. Yakripa Krishna Samprasno Yenatma Suprasidati. Your questions are glorious because the subject matter of these questions is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Therefore, these questions and their answers will bring about the ultimate welfare for all living beings. Sukadeva Goswami perfectly repeated Sukadeva Goswami's words. It was in the same place under these same forefathers of the trees. And the father lives through the children. It was under these same trees in the same forest that Sukadeva Goswami spoke 18,000 verses as he had heard from his spiritual master. The sages of Naimasharanya came to perform a yajna. Bhagavad Gita says, yajna tarkamano yatra lokomam karma bandhana taratam karma korteya mukta sangasa. So whatever sacrifice or work we may perform, its success is if it pleases Krishna. Work done as sacrifice for Vishnu must be done. Otherwise, any sacrifice you perform, any work you do, any words you speak, if it is not done for the service and the pleasure of the Lord, it simply creates bondage to the modes of material nature. Whether we are bound to the mode of ignorance, passion, or goodness, it is bondage. Sutta Goswami performed the ultimate yajna. The glorification of Krishna. For the pleasure of Krishna and the pleasure of his devotees, in the service of his spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada explains that when you water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is nourished. Krishna is the root of all existence. If Krishna is satisfied, all our attempts are a success. If Krishna is not satisfied by our efforts, however everything may appear to the rest of the world, We may be getting crowns or garlands or gifts, or there may be millions of people saying, Jai, Jai, Jai. But if Krishna is not pleased, we failed. You can decorate each leaf of these trees with rubies and emeralds and diamonds, and you can offer them gulab jamuns and ladus and sabjis and puris and halwa. You could even get the best, most authorized Ayurvedic medicines. Anoint the leaves, the branches, and the twigs. But the tree will die if you do not put water on the root. So we are not concerned as Vaishnavas with the external appearance of people's prosperity or success. We know with full conviction that if a person is humble and eager to serve, if a person likes to hear about Krishna, to chant his holy names,
Krishna, 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 Krishna,
that person is success. Hearing and chanting is the only sacrifice in this age of Kali Yuga.
And Srila Prabhupada explained,
Ramasharanya heard Srimad Bhagavatam for 1,000 years. They kept discussing it after Sutta Goswami spoke. And what should we learn from this?
Nasta praeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya bhagavati utamasloke bhaktira bhavati naishtati.
That we should hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day. Regularly. It is important. It is essential for our spiritual development. They especially chose Naimasharanya for this great yajna. Why? It is explained in the Vayavya Tantra that Lord Brahma, the creator of the universe, he contemplated the universe to be like a big wheel. And he concluded that Naimasharanya was the hub of that wheel. This means Naimasharanya is the center of the universe. Later today we will be going to Chakra Tirtha. It is said that Lord Sri Brahmaji, the original guru of our Brahma Mata Gaudiya Sampradaya, he threw a chakra which would land in the very, very hub of the universe. And it went into the ground here in Kurukshetra. It went right through the entire world. It is said in the Varaha Purana that one who worships the Lord in Naimasharanya by performing sacrifice of hearing and chanting, that sacrifice will curtail the strength of all the demons.
Nityananda Prabhu came to visit Naimasharanya,
as did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
We have come here to follow in their footsteps.
This glorious forest of Sri Naimasharanya embodies for us the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Our Sampradaya Acharya, Srila Rupa Goswami, he was empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu
with full realization of the highest truths to reveal the world.
It was at Prayag that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Srila Rupa Goswami for 10 days at the Dashashvamedha Ghat, the banks of the Jamuna, near the confluence.
There, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, seeing Srila Rupa Goswami to be so humble, so sincere, so willing to give his life, that he embraced Rupa Goswami. Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has come to give the highest realizations of the spiritual world to this in the age of Kali. When he embraced Rupa Goswami, he impregnated within his heart the ability to fully understand and realize the Lord's innermost mission.
In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami describes the whole process of bhakti.
Adoshatatata sadhu sango tabhajana kriyatato nartana bhikti shatato anishtar. Begins with faith.
On the basis of that faith, Krishna within the heart reciprocates. It directs us to the association of devotees. In that association, we learn the process of Krishna consciousness. Later, we take initiation from spiritual master. And then we take vows for bhajana kriya, to follow the regulative principles, no illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meat eating, to hear Bhagavad, to chant the holy names, to serve.
Through the process of bhajana kriya, anarthana dikisha.
The anarthas, the unwanted material contaminations, desires, and attachments within the hearts are removed. And then there becomes faith, nishtha.
Firm faith, unshakable faith. That Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I am His eternal servant. And simply by hearing and chanting His glories and serving His devotees, I will attain the ultimate perfection of love of God.
Through development of that faith, we attain ruchi.
Paramrita Bhakti, a higher taste.
Well, we love to chant, we love to hear, we love to serve, we love to be with Vaishnavas. We want to see the deity. We want to serve.
The material temptations of Maya, as Jamunacharya explained in his state of ruchi,
that even the most pleasures of material life,
my lips curl in distaste and I spite at the thought.
From that ruchi comes ashakti,
attachment.
We are told, give up all your attachments. But in the path of bhakti, we are taught,
become attached. The impersonalistic school, they want to give up all attachments so that they have no attachments.
but on the path
of Upashanakanda, the highest perfection. We want to give up all our material attachments exclusively for the purpose of becoming unconditionally attached to Krishna and Krishna's service and his devotees, and especially to chanting his holy name. To become attached to Krishna, he becomes be attached to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Attached to it. Attached to seeing the deities and bowing down and rendering puja. Attached to chanting his names. Attached to executing his orders. Even if they may cause us pain or death. Attachment. To remembering him at all times, and attachment to the association of his devotees. If we are not attached to the association of devotees, we cannot become attached to Krishna. Ramananda Rai, he said, the only pain I know is to be separate from the association of devotees. That is attachment. He didn't consider things like malaria or typhoid or old age or anything else to be pains. He didn't consider insult or frustration of one's expectations to be pain. The only pain for him was to be without the association of devotees. This is attachment. And when we develop that attachment gradually by the mercy of the Lord and the execution of our sadhana, we attain bhava, love of Krishna. And through bhava, prema pramada mahan, the ultimate perfection. Unmotivated, uninterrupted love for Krishna. Where Krishna reveals our eternal identity in the spiritual world from within our hearts. In order to achieve this and follow this path perfectly with all authority, Srila Rupa Goswami has written the Nectar of Devotion. There he has described 64 items of devotional service, of which 5 are of the ultimate importance. What are those 5? The first is satsang, sadhu satsang. Association with Krishna's devotees. You can make no spiritual progress without that association. Srila Prabhupada told us, if you think you can make any spiritual advancement without the association of these devotees that you're fighting with and everything else, you are simply insane. The second sacred principle is the Yuga Dharma. Congregational chanting of Krishna's name. Third is worshipping the deities, offering proper puja, and fixing our mind on the beautiful form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has so mercifully appeared so that we can engage all of our senses in serving him and becoming more and more attracted by him. The fourth principle is worshipping Tulsi and living in the holy Dham. Srila Prabhupada explains the great Dhams of Mayapur, Jagannath Puri, Vrindavan,
to reside in these holy dhams is a regulative principle.
But to expand that, the great acharyas explain how Krishna never takes one step out of Vrindavan.
And he's wherever his holy name is being chanted. The temple of the Lord, the place where the devotees of the Lord are sincerely engaged in devotional service, the holy dham extends itself there.
And why do we come on these pilgrimages? So much trouble.
Radha Krishna Prabhu, Shamananda Prabhu, Abhiram Prabhu and their team of devotees, they have worked for months just to try to satisfy all of you and give you the facility to come to the holy dhams.
You should be grateful. And no doubt, beyond their control, some things go right, some things don't go right.
We should not complain. And if we ever did, we should fall in the dust of their feet and beg forgiveness.
Austerities are not their fault.
Austerity is the arrangement of Krishna. They didn't plan the axle to break on the bus. They didn't plan flat tires. They didn't plan a massive crash right in front of us to hold us up for hours.
But we shouldn't just think, I'm going to Naimisharanya.
We should understand that it takes years and years of tapasya to be able to come to such a holy place.
It's not a cheap thing. We're thinking, oh, the bus ride took so long. But actually, previous to this Ugrakama age, people would walk for months to come to Naimisharanya,
Ayodhya, or Vrindavan.
And walking for months means sleeping in the forest with wild animals that can eat you at any moment. Not knowing where you'll eat from one day to the next. That's how people used to come to these holy places. And by the time they'd get here, they would be in a state of mind to really appreciate how rare and fortunate they are to have made it here. So some little inconvenience. We should be grateful that I'm here. And these inconveniences are there by the arrangement of Krishna just to purify us so that we can have a better understanding. Of course, the managers of the yatra, they shouldn't arrange inconveniences. It's their service to try to provide as best they can. Just like we're hearing katha, if we're grateful, it would go in one ear and enter into the core of our hearts.
If we're not grateful, it will go in one ear, and as they say, it will go out the other. So, this is a very important principle of devotional service. Carry the holy dham within our hearts.
And the fifth principle that Srila Rupa Goswami has instructed us, cardinal rule of Gaudiya Vaishnavas,
is to hear Srimad Bhagavatam.
Why Rupa Goswami didn't say Vedic literatures? Why specifically Srimad Bhagavatam?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has revealed.
He has revealed through Rupa Goswami, revealed through Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, and all of our acharyas. Mahaprabhu Chaitanya said, Srimad Bhagavatam Amalam Puranam. That Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana.
In the Bhagavad itself, as the Ganges is to rivers,
as Lord Shiva is to the Vaishnavas, Srimad Bhagavatam is to the Vedic literature. It is the topmost.
Srimad Bhagavatam is the cream of Vedic literature.
The Vedas are compared to milk.
The essence of milk is the cream.
It is called the ripened fruit of the Vedic literatures. The Vedas are like a desire tree. They could fulfill all kinds of desires.
But the ripened fruit,
the ultimate perfection,
is contained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Why?
Because Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentary of the Vedanta Sutra, written by the author himself, Vedavyas. Vedanta Sutra is the essence of all knowledge. But no one can understand it properly. Previously, every Acharya made their commentary on the Vedanta Sutras and gave their own understandings of what it means. But Vedavyas, the author of the Vedanta Sutra, he wrote his own commentary.
And that is Srimad Bhagavatam.
Therefore, amongst the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, we did not find any of them from the descents of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu writing any commentaries of Vedanta Sutra. Every other sampradaya does. That's what establishes them as a sampradaya. When they asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers, where is your authorized commentary of Vedanta Sutra? So we have the best commentary of anyone.
Srimad Bhagavatam.
Vedavyas, the all-knowing Supreme Lord, one commentary. That's good enough for us. Therefore, all the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, their commentaries are on Srimad Bhagavatam. We find Sanatana Goswami wrote elaborate commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam. Rupa Goswami, everything he wrote was just fluffing the cotton of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Jiva Goswami, he wrote the Saptandarbhas, the highest philosophical truths that have ever been revealed to the world in the most systematic, concise, and detailed forms. And what is the Saptandarbhas of Jiva Goswami? Simply his explanations of Srimad Bhagavatam. He explains, all you need is Srimad Bhagavatam. There's no need for any other scripture. Everything is here. And without Srimad Bhagavatam, all other scriptures will not give you desired results.
Janmadhyasayatam.
This is the first aphorism of Vedanta Sutra. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam begins with this principle. That the Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam immediately establishes that Krishna, the son of Vasudeva, is the supreme cause of all causes. Everything emanates from him. He is the source of everything. By his multifarious energies, everything is existing. And therefore, the perfection of life is to always meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Matsya Purana, the first of all the great Puranas, describes in it the Srimad Bhagavatam. That the greatest of the Puranas begins with this Gayatri. And it has the description of the killing of Vritrasura.
that anyone who gives the gift of this Srimad Bhagavatam on the full moon, life will approach perfection. In the Padma Purana, Gautama Rishi tells Ambarish Maharaj his instruction for perfection. Hear and chant this scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam, and always remember it. Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of Krishna. It is described in Bhagavatam itself that after Krishna left this world and returned to his eternal abode by Kunta, that he personally descended in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam to give light in this age of darkness. Srila Prabhupada and our great acharyas have stressed Srimad Bhagavatam is not different than Krishna. By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam attentively and following its instructions, in the pages of the Bhagavatam, you will see Krishna directly. Dharma Prabhupada Kaya Vatra Paramanirmasaranam Sana. Srimad Bhagavatam is unique amongst all great scriptures of the world. Because from the very beginning, it kicks out all Kaitava Dharma, cheating religion. What Srimad Bhagavatam calls cheating religion is the goal of life for most every other religion. There are four Purusharthas described in all Vedic literatures. And in every other Vedic literatures, some, there are 18 Puranas, some of them for those in the mode of ignorance, some for the mode of passion, some for the mode of goodness. It has different emphasis on goals and how to attain it. They're all mixed with artha, kama, dhamma, moksha. We all want sense gratification. We all want facilities for sense gratification, which is economic development. People want elevation to higher planets, which comes through religiosity. And those who are frustrated with all of this, they want mukti, liberation. No more suffering, no more birth, death, old age, and disease. But any inclination for any of these things is kicked out by Srimad Bhagavatam as cheating religion. And the Purushartha Shiromani is all that stands in Srimad Bhagavatam. Prema Pumartha Mahan. Pure, unmotivated, uninterrupted love of Krishna. Savai Pung Shang Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Hokshin. This is the Bhagavad Gita. That the supreme occupation for all humanity is loving service to Krishna. But to satisfy the heart, that loving service must be uninterrupted and unmotivated by any of these materialistic ambitions. Srimad Bhagavatam is called the Paramhamsa Samhita because more than any other scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam gives ecstatic joy to those swan-like devotees who are lovers of the Lord. And Srimad Bhagavatam is also that scripture which has the greatest power of God to uplift the fallen souls and bring them to the point of becoming Paramahamsa, pure devotees of the Lord. It is described
that we cannot understand the Srimad Bhagavatam simply through the process of reading the book. Because as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and as Srila Prabhupada described, there are so many reciters of Srimad Bhagavatam who really don't know what it means. There are Bhagavat Saptahas going on everywhere in this great land of India. But to what degree are people developing a personal, loving relationship with Krishna through those Bhagavat Saptahas? Or even understand that's what they're supposed to do? Srimad Bhagavatam can only be understood in the association of a person Bhagavatam. Person Bhagavat means one who lives by the true teachings as they have descended through Parampara. Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna himself. But in this age of Kali Yuga, the Lord is so merciful that he personally incarnates to teach us the process of approaching the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Lord descends to this world to personify the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam through his life and words. And that is Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna in the form of book, sound vibration. And that same Srimad Bhagavatam took a sentient form in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada, so kind, his introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam is the life of Sri Chaitanya. Because unless we understand that properly, we cannot approach Srimad Bhagavatam with the proper spirit. So let us take a few moments to discuss and contemplate the personified Bhagavat himself, Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By his life, we can learn all the essential truths to achieve perfection. Lord Chaitanya did not begin preaching Srimad Bhagavatam. That's all he preached, is Srimad Bhagavatam. He didn't begin his preaching mission until he first accepted Ishwar Puri as his spiritual. He served Ishwar. He personally cooked for him. He personally served him. He personally did any menial little services Guru Maharaj wanted him to do. He worshipped the feet of his guru. In fact, he went to Kumarahata, the birthplace of his spiritual master, and worshipped that place. This is Kumarahata. This is the place of my Guru Maharaj. The dirt of this place is sacred. The dust of Kumarahata is the fulfillment of all my aspirations in life. He took that dirt with him and used to eat it every day. The dust from his feet of his spirit. And he presented himself as a fool before his guru and begged him to teach. And from his guru Maharaj he received tathadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshadite jnanam jnaninastatvadarshanam. Gauranga Mahaprabhu personally illustrated by his example this great teaching. And he also taught that this knowledge must be received through the system of Parampara. Many people may speak Bhagavatam, but we must see that what they are saying, the conclusions that they have come to, they have received from a proper parampara or disciple succession.
When Lord Chaitanya was living in Srinavadvipa Dham,
the most famous speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam was named Devananda Bhakti. He had a school
in a place that's now
near Kulia, Kodapi. And so many people were coming to hear from him. He was such a profound scholar of Sanskrit. And he can speak Srimad Bhagavatam with such conviction. He was so very, very deeply learned. He was really a philosopher. And he was very charismatic. His students were very proud to have a teacher like this. People would come to hear him. But one day when somebody who actually knew what Bhagavatam meant happened to come to his class, Srivas Thakur, just by hearing Bhagavatam, Srivas Thakur fainted in ecstasy. Devananda Pandit's disciples, they just thought, who is this guy making a disturbance? And they threw him out. And Devananda Pandit just let him do it. Anyways, one day Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was walking by that area with his devotees. And he heard the loud sound of Devananda Pandit's oceanic explanation of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he is even more oceanic. He called out, "You rascal, you have no right to me, Srimad Bhagavatam. You are an offender of Vaishnavas." In fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "At this very moment, I'm going to rip your Bhagavatam to shreds." And Mahaprabhu went right, and Lord stopped him. "You have no right to speak Bhagavatam. You have no devotion to Krishna. You have not understood Krishna as the Supreme Lord, and you are his eternal servant. You have not understood the glory of his devotees." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through this lesson of Devananda Pandit, wanted to teach the world, no matter how great of a scholar you are, no matter how interesting you can speak the Bhagavatam in such a way that you can make people laugh, and you can make people cry, and you can make people angry, whatever emotion, that doesn't indicate a bona fide speaker. But one who glorifies Krishna as the Supreme Lord, who is the source of the impersonal Brahma, who is the source of the localized Paramatma, who is the eternal enjoyer of all living beings, one who understands that we are all part and parcel of Krishna, we are all his eternal servants, and one who aspires as the goal of his life to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, that person has a right to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. And anyone else who tries is an offender to the Bhagavatam. That was the message he revealed to the world. Later on, Devananda Pandit, he very carefully served one of the Lord's devotees, Makreshwar Pandit. Makreshwar Pandit was dancing in ecstasy and leading kirtan, and all kinds of people were coming to see him dance so beautifully. He wanted to see him dance. And Devananda Pandit, he was holding the people back with sticks,
so that Vakreshwar Pandit could dance without people crashing into him and everything like that. Vakreshwar Pandit fell to the ground in a swoon of ecstasy. Devananda Pandit caught him and very carefully dusted the dust from his body and served him with love and attention. Because he rendered that service to a devotee and appreciated the qualities of a devotee, his heart was transformed. Then he was able to recognize and understand that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Lord Krishna himself. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back from Puri after taking sannyas to Navadvip, Kuliagram, Devananda Pandit came and surrendered. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu invoked within his heart the ability to understand perfectly the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Lord Chaitanya gave him that instruction. You should know that every single syllable of every word, of every line, of every sloka, of every chapter, of every canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam only has one message. Pure, unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And you should explain everything in that light. That is Srimad Bhagavatam.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was living in Puri,
Bhagavan Acharya. This Bhagavan Acharya was a very intimate associate and devotee of the Lord, but he had a very simple heart and simple mind.
So he was his brother-in-law, I believe it was. He came from Varanasi. He studied Srimad Bhagavatam under someone,
and he was narrating these incredibly interesting Bhagavatam. So, naturally, Bhagavan Acharya, he wanted all the best to be offered to Lord Chaitanya. So he wanted to bring his brother-in-law in to speak Bhagavat to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wouldn't just see anybody. He had screening process. And that was Swarup Damodar Goswami. Whoever wanted to show any literature to him or speak any katha to him had to first go through Swarup Damodar Goswami to check out that everything was proper. So this person came and he spoke these eloquent, beautiful verses describing Srimad Bhagavatam that everyone was so happy to hear. Even the devotees, they were happy to hear it.
When Swarup Damodar heard it,
he said, "You are going to hell for what you just said. This is rasavasa. This is bogus. This is tinged by unwanted conception." And the person became very humble and fell down at Swarup Damodar's feet. "I don't want to go to hell. Tell me what I should do." He said, "You should study Srimad Bhagavatam from a Vaishnava, from a real devotee in Parampara. Then you will understand what is Bhagavatam." One time when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was coming back from an attempted visit to Vrindavan, he came to a village called Varaha Nagara. And there, a man was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he heard the Srimad Bhagavatam, he became ecstatic, completely ecstatic. He started dancing. Now, we're reciting Bhagavatam, but we don't see anyone dancing. For one reason is I don't recite very properly, and the other is maybe you're not so filled with love of God. But this man was just reciting Bhagavatam, and Mahaprabhu just said, "Say it again, say it again, say it again." And he was dancing, going on reciting, dancing, dancing like a madman. for 9 hours. And at the end, he looked at this devotee and said, "Your name will be Bhagavat Acharya." There's a similar story. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just came back from Gaya, he was with his students. One devotee in Navadvip was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, a particular verse, and Lord Chaitanya just went completely mad in ecstatic love. Nobody could understand why. Mahaprabhu wanted to reveal to the world the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. And when Lord Chaitanya was in Puri, every day he would go to Tota Gopinath temple and spend several hours hearing Gadadhar Pandit recite Srimad Bhagavatam. Gadadhar Pandit is the incarnation of Srimati Radharani. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the incarnation of Krishna, glorifying the unlimited, super-excellent love of Srimati Radharani. That is what Srimad Bhagavatam is. As Gadadhar Pandit would be reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, tears would be flowing from his eyes. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as he would hear Srimad Bhagavatam from the lips of such a devotee, tears would flow from his eyes. And the confluence of both their tears would sometimes fall on the Srimad Bhagavatam. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Puri, he met with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. When he was passing through Varanasi, he met Prakashananda Saraswati. These two souls were the foremost stalwart scholars of the Mayavad or monistic philosophy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had dialogue with both of them. First, but Lord Chaitanya's process of preaching was so powerful, but so sweet. These are the two greatest Mayavadis on the planet. How did Lord Chaitanya get their interest to hear what he had to say? Please examine both of these incidents. Lord Chaitanya won their hearts both by their humility. To Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he sat for 7 days and listened to him speak very respectfully. Then after all of that, now we shouldn't try to imitate that. But we can understand the principle of humility. But we shouldn't be egoistic preachers. We should be humble servant preachers. He didn't say anything. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "You didn't ask any questions. Do you understand what I said?" He said, "I understand Vedanta Sutra very nicely, but I don't understand what you're saying. Vedanta Sutra is like the sun. It's easy to see. But your explanation is like a cloud covering the real meaning." "Oh, then you tell me, what does it mean?" That's Sarvabhauma's interest. Sarvabhauma felt, "You listen to me, so I have to listen to you." And by the time Mahaprabhu finished his explanation, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya surrendered his life to Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality. And for Prakashananda Saraswati, Lord Chaitanya came to this assembly of great Swamijis
And he sat in the place where they all washed their feet. Prakashananda said, "What? You sit on this raised platform with us. You're Swami. Come on." He said, "No, no, you are very learned scholars. I'm just a very simple, insignificant person. I should sit where you wash your feet." Prakashananda Saraswati had to go and take him by the hand. And by taking him by the hand, he did some seva. Adhyata Sukriti. Once you do seva to please the Vaishnava, then your heart can understand truth. Until that time, you cannot understand. Sarvabhauma also, Lord Chaitanya got him to do seva to soften his heart. And then the Lord explained to him that this Vedanta Sutra that you are so proud of, your commentaries and your scholarship, why don't you just understand that the commentary is already there? Srimad Bhagavatam. He converted Prakashananda Saraswati, he converted Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya by convincing them that Srimad Bhagavatam was the authorized commentary of Vedanta Sutra, and he simply spoke the truths of Bhagavatam and transformed them into envious Mayavadis, into pure-hearted Vaishnavas. That is the power of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam through the most succinct and all-encompassing philosophy of Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. Simultaneous, inconceivable oneness and difference. That Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And all emanations of Krishna, both the spirit soul as well as the material energy, they are all one with Krishna and at the same time different than Krishna. How is that? Mahaprabhu explained to Sanatana Goswami, just like the ray of the sun is none different than the sun, but at the same time the ray is only an infinitesimal part of the sun. Qualitatively one, but quantitatively different. Similarly, every spirit soul is part of Krishna. But because Krishna is the all great whole, and we are just a tiny part, it is our eternal relationship to serve Krishna. Parashi Shaktai Vibhadaya Shriyade. That Krishna has multifarious energies. Primarily, there is the spiritual energy which is sustaining the entire spiritual abode of the Vaikunthas and the Brahmajyoti. And then there is the external energy or material energy, which is this material world with all of its variegatedness being sustained by that. And there is the tatastha shakti, the marginal energy. Mamayam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manashishtanindriyani prakriti stani karashati. That the spirit soul is fragmental part and parcel of Krishna. Marginal means that as Krishna is Avijna Swarat, he is independent and all-knowing. Similarly, we have minute independence and a minute capacity to know. And with that minute independence, we have the choice to serve Krishna or to rebel against Krishna by trying to serve independent of him. And as long as the spirit soul is trying to enjoy independent of Krishna, either in the mode of ignorance, passion, goodness, or even in the liberated state of mukti. It is an artificial situation.
Bhagavad says,
Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana
sudulabha prasantasma koteshvati mahamuni.
That only the person who has realized that he is the eternal servant of Krishna, and if every act, every word, and every thought is for the pleasure of Krishna, only that person can achieve real, everlasting happiness. Everyone else must inevitably and eventually suffer at the cruel hands of material nature.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on the basis of Srimad Bhagavatam, wanted to establish this principle.
And the only means by which we can attain the purity of heart to realize our eternal loving relationship with Krishna is through bhakti, or devotional service.
Lord Chaitanya taught that pure love of Godhead
is in every living being's heart. By serving Krishna, by serving Krishna's devotees, by hearing about Krishna, and by chanting the holy names of Krishna, that love is awake.
Prema Kumartama. We should settle for nothing less than pure, unmotivated love of Krishna. Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam Bhaja Kavisha Kamaye. Mama Janmani Janmanishwari Bhavatam Bhakti Ravaitakipai.
This is Bhagavatam. This is the gopis' love for Krishna. This is Prahlad Maharaj's love for Krishna. This is Dhruva Maharaj's love for Krishna. This is Ambarish Maharaj's love for Krishna. This is Pandava's love for Krishna. This is the continuous theme of Srimad Bhagavatam.
That devotees pray, I do not want wealth. I do not want the beautiful pleasures of this world. I do not want followers, recognition, or prestige. I don't even want liberation. Birth after birth after birth, my Lord, I want to be your servant.
This is the continuous theme of Srimad Bhagavatam. And this has so succinctly been presented to the world by the personified Bhagavat himself, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and his devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us that in this age of Kali, Nam-Sankirtan is the Yukadharma. The very last verse of Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us that the congregational chanting of the holy names and the bowing down before the Lord will free us of all sins. When we were in Vrindavan, one of my very dear, beloved godbrothers, Indra Prabhu, do you know Indra Prabhu? He sings the Vrindavan Mellow series of tapes. Beautiful, beautiful. Bhajan and Kirtan. In fact, when I was with him, another god brother of ours named Mahamuni Prabhu, the three of us were standing together. And Mahamuni Prabhu is very big size. He will come to Radha Gopinath Jagu. He was one of the prominent bus leaders of the Radha Damodar Sankirtan party. He said, he was on my bus. And I thought, why is he leaving my bus? He left my bus to come to Vrindavan.
And Mahamuni was thinking, now I'm wondering why I didn't leave my bus when I see Andhra.
So Andhra Prabhu,
in his own humble way, we were discussing Srimad Bhagavatam.
And the last verse came. And he said, according to this last verse, it is said
that by chanting the holy names and bowing down with humility before the Lord, we become cleansed of all sins. Who cares about that? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't teach us to be cleansed of sins. We want love of God. Cleansing of sins is liberation. Why the Veda Vyas end the Bhagavatam with that? You get free of sins.
Hare Krishna.
So he explained, this is the Paramahamsa Samhita. To the Paramahamsas, even mukti is sinful. For the Paramahamsa, anything less than pure emotional service is sinful. So that's what Veda Vyas must be. Because we find that none of the characters in Srimad Bhagavatam are asking for liberation. They're all asking for pure devotional service. They're all asking, let me always remember you. Let me always be the servant of your servants. That is the prayer of all the great souls. And therefore, we worship these great personalities. Some people may think, how can I believe these stories of Srimad Bhagavatam? They're too extraordinary. These big lions and these big boars and these men with millions of queens. But our acharyas, headed by Srila Prabhupada, like these are histories, factual histories. No exaggerations, no storytelling, no fairy tales. They are factual history. Everything in Bhagavatam. Many explain that we have to give up our small-mindedness. That Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken of stories that happened in other ages where people were not like us. In other planets, where things are not like here. In other times. And also, with an understanding that the Supreme Lord has achitta shakti. He has inconceivable potencies. He can do anything. Anytime, anywhere. And he can do anything through his devotees, or through those he wants to use to participate in his pastimes. If the Lord just acted like us, who would care about reading about him? Krishna had 16,108 wives, 16,108 queens, millions and millions and billions of people in Dwarka on a small island. And we're thinking, impossible. Geographically it's impossible. Anthropologically it's impossible. Rationally it's impossible. Mathematically it's impossible. Astrologically it's impossible. Oceanically it's impossible. Little island on the ocean, it's impossible. But Krishna can do anything, anytime, anywhere. In any way he wants. That's why he's God. And the fact that you think it's impossible, that's why you're not God. Because I can't do it, no one can do it. This is sour grapes mentality. I can't do it, my father can't do it, my grandfather can't do it, how can Krishna do it? So Krishna performs these wonderful, wonderful activities in the most wonderful, wonderful ways. And Sukadeva Goswami and Suta Goswami spoke here in Sri Naimasharanya, the most select and purifying of all histories that have taken place throughout all of time. That is Srimad Bhagavatam.
Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur at Sri Radha Kund,
he spoke for practically a month on the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. And at that time he explained that any one word of Srimad Bhagavatam, if you understand it properly, you will attain ecstatic love for Krishna. And you will be able to experience Krishna everywhere. Why? Because the Srimad Bhagavatam is the body of Krishna himself. Every syllable is Krishna incarnate through sound vibration. The first canto is the lotus feet of Krishna. And each canto progressively is the higher parts of Krishna's transcendental body. The tenth canto is his beautiful moon-like smiling face. Therefore, our acharyas explain that we should progressively study Srimad Bhagavatam with the help of experienced devotees. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he wanted to emphasize the integrity and the dignity of this supremest literature. And he very much condemned people jumping to the tenth canto, describing it with materialistic conceptions. Within our Hare Krishna movement, just as Srila Rupa Goswami is our Sampradaya Acharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami is our founder Acharya about the particular branch of Gaudiya Vaishnavism that we are all following. Thus, for all generations within the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Srila Prabhupada is personally the prominent guru in everyone's life as founder Acharya. Because his books, as well as the sacrifice of his compassion, is the basis of all of our Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada, knowing the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami, and all of our acharyas, he sat in the Radha Damodar temple for 6 years. And he spent the majority of his time translating Srimad Bhagavatam and giving practical purports that could be understood and assimilated by the people in general of this world. Srila Prabhupada left India with the most priceless wealth of India's heritage. Those boxes of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada requested us every day to study Srimad Bhagavatam with a real appreciation for what
Srimad Bhagavatam
is so mercifully giving to us in the world. We have come here. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said his life's work was developing this society and translating Srimad Bhagavatam.
In these beautiful forests of Naimisharanya, we are assembled. With thousands and millions of mouths, we cannot possibly even begin to explain one drop of the oceanic glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. But as the servant of the servant of the servant, we're trying to say something. Please forgive us for our offenses. Actually, for many years, it has been our prayer to take all of you here to Naimisharanya. In fact, it is the first time in my life I have ever come. So I thank you very much for taking me here. While we are here, we should be reading, chanting, and discussing the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. And we should fall to great humility in the dust of this holy place. Pray for the mercy of Sri Suta Goswami. Pray for the mercy of Sonak Rishi and all those great sages of Naimisharanya. Pray for those who are following their footsteps, for their mercy. That in this life, we can taste the drop of the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. That we could genuinely surrender to the ideals that are revealed in Srimad Bhagavatam. That we can be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than trees, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. So that we can live by the spirit of the Srimad Bhagavatam and constantly chant the holy names of Krishna.
Krishna, 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 Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Shri Naimisharanya ki
jai,
Ananti Kori Vaishnava Vrinda ki
jai,
Jai Jai Sri
Hare.
This morning with kirtan of the holy names.
Naimisharanya is not only a place to sit and listen,
but it is a place to dance and chant.